Hey gang, are you new to this podcast? Have you subscribed on Spotify, Stitcher, or Apple Podcasts and realized that you can only access the 20 most recent shows on these platforms? Do you, my friend, want to binge on How Did I Get Here? Well, check out our archives that are available on the Podbean app. If you follow us on the Podbean app, we have every single show ever released on that platform. You'll also get all of your favorite shows like Fresh Air, WTF with Marc Maron, ID10T, The Michelle Obama Podcast. All podcasts available there, and you can also access over 1,000 How Did I Get Here episodes. So, download the Podbean app from your app store and start listening today. Let's get down. Folks, are you tired of people telling you your band is too darn loud when you're just trying to practice in your house or garage? Well, if you live in Austin, I have the solution for you. That's Space Rehearsal and Recording. Space is a state-of-the-art affordable venue for rehearsal and recording located just a few miles south of downtown Austin. They have 31 spacious rooms, great PAs, fantastic, courteous staff. They have everything you need to get your artistic business together at Space. Find them at 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com and start playing as loud as you want in Space Rehearsal and Recording. Let's get down.
You gotta open the vault.
Open my vault?
Open your vault.
Once I open the vault, it ceases to be a vault.
You have no choice.
Leave the vault.
Hello, I'm Johnny. I'm your host, and welcome to another episode of How Did I Get Here from the Vault, where I reach back into our vault of over a decade and 1,000 episodes of How Did I Get Here, pull one out, shine it up, and re-release it for you just in case you missed it along the way. And today we go back to episode 184, originally released on July 2nd, 2013, with the band Death. Now, Death has an incredible story, so incredible that they made a documentary about it. It came out back in June of 2013. The documentary tells the story of three brothers in the early 70s Detroit playing a style of music way ahead of its time, a style of music that we've come to know as punk. All right, so they were out promoting this movie, A Band Called Death, which came out back in 2013 and made quite a splash in sort of the documentary world. You should get out there and check it out. It's really good. These three brothers, Dennis, Bobby, and the late David, grew up playing music together. They played funk. They switched to rock and roll after they saw Who's show, and their interpretation of rock and roll was what we would come to know as punk. They're known as like the prototypical punk band. So anyway, they were on tour with the movie, and my friend Bevis Griffin, who you might have heard on the show a couple of times over the last couple of years, he was managing them at the time and invited me out. I went to sound check, and then I got to go to a special screening of the movie A Band Called Death, where I got to watch it with the band, but they also spoke before and after the movie and took questions and stuff. It was real cool. Then got to go see a show that they performed for everyone that went to the movie. Fantastic evening of my life. The next day we met up at KUTX here in Austin. KUTX was nice enough to let me use one of their studios to sit down and talk to the members of Death. While they were going through an incredibly unique experience, you know, they were a band that didn't think their music was ever going to be heard. They were around for a short time in the early 70s. Then their brother David passed away and Dennis went his own way. Bobby went his own way. Bobby started a band and started playing music that was started playing songs by Death, like reinterpretations and sort of like reminding people that that was going on. And now at this point, this is what's very exciting, is the music of Death has lived on. And even the Black Pumas covered their song Politicians in My Eyes. Get out there and see it. It's you can find it on YouTube. It's absolutely fantastic. I believe that's probably Adrian Quesada's love for the band. And probably he learned about them from this documentary, because as I said, this documentary did really well. It was done by Alamo Drafthouse Films, and so that's where I went to go do it, and it was a whole experience at Alamo Drafthouse with these guys. But we're going to go back 8 years to episode 184, originally released on July 2nd, 2013, with legendary punk band Death.
How did I get here from the vault?
had my head spinning, running a dream. It's that time to bleed. Why all these lights popping up in my face? Or am I freaking out? 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 Freaking out?
All right, so you guys are on a whirlwind promotional tour for your film and yes. your music, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so after 40 years of this music initially and Death coming out, almost 40 years, right?
Yeah.
Was it like 39?
34. It was 34 in 2008.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, so yeah. We're getting up there.
We're getting up there. We get about 40.
Yeah.
40 years.
And so after all this time, and I mean, after I saw the movie, and then I watched you guys play the other night, I walked out, I told you, I think, Bobby, that I felt like I was just high on hope.
Oh, wow.
Like here, you know, here we're in a struggle. That's I'm great. A musician as well. We're all working all the time, and, right. and it's difficult, you know,
right,
to get through, and to have it all come out after wow. you'd think it was dead.
Exactly.
Without pun.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. No, you're very right.
I mean, yeah. you know, it's weird because, you know, you lay down something and then, you know, you lay down, you work for it and your blood, sweat and your tears. And it's kind of heartbreaking to even have to go that way and, you know, have all your stuff end up in the attic and then see all the changes that would make you think that this thing could never rise again.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, while you're trying to think of what else to do with your life, you know, it
yeah.
falls on you like, you know, just like a housewarming at the sky. Come on!
Yeah.
And it just takes over your life. And, you know, I'm still walking around in awe with my mouth open because I, you know, I just can't believe it.
Yeah,
I mean it's settling yeah. in, but I mean it's still
yeah
sure.
It's kind of hard to swallow the whole lump at once.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and I'll talk about the movie, but what since we have not a lot of time, and once again, thanks for taking the time because I know you guys are totally busy on this.
Yeah.
I want to talk about what this opportunity opens all kinds of doors, and so here you go. What
yeah.
what's the plan?
Well, you know, the plan basically is. We, you know, it's funny because it's like, you know, me and Dennis talked when we first, this thing first started, you know, we said, you know, it's like an old suitcase that you have that has a lot of unfinished business in it.
Yeah.
And now you have the opportunity to pick up that suitcase and finish some of that business. And some of that business is basically songs that David and I wrote that never saw the light of day, got a chance to get into the recording studio.
Right.
There's other Death demos and tapes that we have historically that we'd like to share.
Correct.
With those who like the band. We're going to just go on the journey of this film, wherever this journey takes us. If it takes us around the country, around the world, wherever we go, we're going to be right there with it. I mean, that's, you know, it's basically our story, our
yeah.
family, our band, and
it's amazing.
We're going to be right there with it.
Yeah, and it's even like, it is the whole family, right down to your kids were the ones that brought it back up to you.
Yeah,
you know?
that's
just insane.
Yeah, that was, wow. You know, I wish that the whole world could just have a glimpse of that moment when Julian called me.
Yeah.
And I had no idea
yeah.
that what he was about to say to me.
Yeah.
That he had discovered our music and... what was very emotional about it was that he had, I mean, it wasn't like we really tried on purpose to keep it from our kids. It was just a painful time for us.
Yeah.
And they had grown up and we never kind of brought it up with them. Mm-hmm. So we just kind of wanted to keep them in bliss about the pain that we went through.
Right, right.
And, you know, when he said the names and the titles of those songs that I had never even told him,
right.
He never even knew Keep On Knocking, No Politicians in My Eyes. And it just, that was a startling moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very startling. You said the other day in the Q&A after the movie that you felt like David was a prophet.
Yeah.
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 In the end,
that's one of the things that I believe because, I mean, my dad was a spiritual man,
yeah.
a Baptist minister, and he always taught us that, you know, if things happen and people predict them and those predictions come true,
yeah.
then you can tell that that man is talking from truth.
Yeah.
You know, and all the things that we're doing right now is things that Dave predicted we would do when we was going,
Dave,
in truth, we was only halfway believing him.
Right.
And it wasn't that we...
So there was a lot of discouraging stuff you guys came against.
Not that we didn't believe David, but it's just... It was so much discouragement. I mean, man, we couldn't even get in the clubs.
We knew that David was passionate about death. He was passionate about death. And so, I mean, we didn't... It was another thing like that. We wanted to keep him in bliss.
Yeah.
Because he kept believing and saying that this music was going to be popular. And we were like, dude, here we are. Okay, we're pushing 40 years old. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, we've moved on. We're doing other things. You're doing other things. You're calling yourself Ruff Francis now.
Right.
You know, you're making kind of almost country-oriented songs.
Right.
And we're doing reggae.
Yeah.
And it's like, how could this thing ever be? You know, but we never told him that we didn't believe him. We just, like I said, just like our kids, we just wanted to keep him in bliss to the situation. He believed that it was going to happen. So, I mean, who are we to argue with him? So
no one.
But,
I mean,
it's... you know, now, like Dennis said, it's his status for us is more like a prophet status and like a real spiritual status because, you know, we knew that he was right.
Yeah, you know, he was.
You know it.
Yeah.
We know now.
Yeah.
He was right.
Yeah, we know now.
You know, I mean, right down to some really small things that he said would happen. Like, not really small things, but I'm saying, you know, just by the way he was telling us this, how this path would go. And it's just really freaky to, years later, have it happen almost step by step as he said it.
So, right.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
That's amazing. Kind of strange. Yeah. So how did you guys meet Bobby Duncan?
How'd you meet me?
We was a guitar player for the reggae band.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Okay, because we never still, you know, we always had trouble finding that guitar player.
Right, right.
But, and Bobby had moved into town, and him and, you know...
That's in Connecticut?
In Vermont.
And he used to, you know, drive by, going to work every morning. We'd see him. Hey,
we knew him for a couple of years. We knew him for a couple of years before we started playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we knew that, you know, I knew he was a musician. But what really made us connect was that our wives became friends.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. His wife became a friend of mine. And, you know, hey, you know, my husband's a musician. My husband's a musician, too. And, you know, and his wife convinced him. to basically, and you know, they ended up living only 2.5 miles away from us.
Wow.
Yeah.
And his wife convinced him, go down the hill and just go and see those guys or go and jam with those guys. And we, you know, just set up a, we didn't know how it was going to be because we knew that Bobby was doing a kind of a rhythm and blues background at the time.
Okay.
But we didn't know that his roots, he was deeply rooted and embedded in the music like we were.
Yeah.
And after he came down and kind of just played with us, we said, hey, man, this we got to get this guy as our guitar player.
Love he's you
just,
to be in the band.
Because he was just such a hot guitar player. And we were looking for a guitar player for Lamb's Red. We were finally, you know, it was almost like a 20-year curse because David, you know, I mean, during the early days of Lamb's Red, David got on a three-way conversation with a phone with me and Dennis. And he said, listen, he said, you guys will never find another guitar player like me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, all those years, I mean, we could find any musician easily, but a guitar player was always a problem.
Yeah.
And we never had no idea that Bobby was being put in place for all this to happen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Me too.
You know?
I had no idea. It was
yeah,
a big surprise
we had no idea.
Yeah. Big surprise to me. I mean, you know, yeah. Candidly, I'll tell you that, I really didn't even want to play in any more groups. You know what I'm saying? But my wife convinced me. I've been doing it since I was 12 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't want to play with any more groups. I was just into the producing and writing and, you know, whatever. And Once I got with these guys, though, we were just doing some reggae. You know, I was like, oh, these guys are kind of tight. You know, so it started to entice me to want to play. So, like, you know, what's the next rehearsal? You know, oh, it's Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I'll come down. And, you know, and then boom, you know, we started off with the Lansford thing. You know, Bobby automatically hit me with a gig. Hey, man, because we were working, you know, working musicians. Here's a gig, man, you know, to pull me in a little while. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, this is cool. And I really enjoy playing with them, talking to them, because we're all from the same era.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we
yeah.
talk about the same things, you know, had the same stuff.
You play with such rock fury. It's just weird to think that this was at one point three guys from a reggae band. Like, I mean, that's some intense stuff going on. Seriously.
Well, you know what? There's an old blues player that David used to hang out with quite a bit, and he was kind of one of our musical mentors. His name was Hank, and Hank told us, because when we first started to consider rock and roll, we had told Hank, we said, yeah, we're thinking about, you know, becoming a rock and roll band.
Yeah.
And Hank had been around, you know, I mean, he was in the backup band with B.B. King. He had played with, some other blues players, you know. And he says to us, he says, you know, once you play rock and roll, he says, if you leave rock and roll never leaves you. You know, it puts something inside of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we thought about Hank when we first, because me and Dennis were like, can we do this again?
Yeah.
You sure we can do this? And then we listened to when we first heard the music after not hearing this for so long, we were like, you sure we can do this, man?
Yeah.
You know, and like, that's, you know, I mean, we, you know, and sure enough, you know, once we started playing it, it was almost like you get the gist of that freedom and that, and everything just came back to us.
It's the energy, man.
You know, the energy, the freedom, the vibe of Detroit, the vibe of the music that was going down in the 70s, everything just hit us all at once. And we thought about Hank. He says, you know what? He's right, man. Rock and roll really never left us.
Never.
It was just sitting there, like those tapes in the attics. It was just sitting there somewhere inside of our heart.
Yeah.
Just waiting for us to express it again.
Man, it's beautiful, because your new song, you wrote Relief, Bobby?
With the sisters of Bobby.
The Bobbies.
Yeah.
And
Dennis. Okay, so you're paying total tribute to that in that song.
Exactly. You know, that's what it was. Me and Dennis have been holding this in for so long.
Yeah.
And it's a real relief.
Yeah.
We feel about 80 pounds lighter right now. We've been carrying this around for so long, you know.
Good.
That's the only time rock and roll becomes a heavy burden, is when you try to carry it without letting it out.
Exactly. Well, we're all lucky to have that. And I'm really, really, really glad I've gotten to meet you guys. And I'm so glad that I got to see the film and hear your story and get to see you play live. It's all, I'm really looking forward. Bevis played me a little bit of the new album. Sounds great. Uh-huh. And I love Relief. That's available online
for
people. So they should go check it out, as well as the older stuff.
Yes.
From the original David, death, your brother.
And you know what? There's also, there's the possibility that there will be some more historic stuff coming out on Jurassic City too.
Good.
You know?
So, good. Well, man, they're telling me to wrap it up. So thank you guys so much for taking the time, and I wish you all the luck in the world.
It's wonderful.
And I hope I see you guys again.
Oh, you will. Yeah, we love Austin.
Yeah, Austin.
All
right. You.
All right.
Thanks, man.
All right.
Time to make it groovy now. The bass is turned up to 11 and it's in my veins. In 19 seconds, we'll be jumping up and down this place. Everybody needs a party every now and then. Come on, people, take a dance.